I don't know if you all remember the last message I shared, and I don't blame you if you forgot. It's easy. Our minds get so full throughout the week and days. But I spoke a little bit, and God spoke to me about Joshua being of good courage and doing everything that the Lord had asked him to do, to meditate, to observe, to obey, and to trust. And he said, if you do all those things, you'll be a success. So how is 2022 working out for all of you so far? Has the snow been a real problem for you, or you find yourself grumbling about it? 2022 is pretty amazing. I don't remember having so much snow back to back, and day just one day and then another day and another day, and then to be held in a vice-like grip of cold. I mean, is the cold going to leave? I don't know. Do you guys know? None of us know. I'm grateful that God knows all that. But how is 2022 working out? This week, in the Word, and God's message to me continually, pounding into me, awake, thou that sleepest, and I will give you light. I felt like I was getting so bogged down with problems with my work and fighting the snow, sliding all over the place. I had bad tires on my van, and so I was like this while I'm driving and afraid to move one way or the next. Or I thought, there's a semi in the ditch, I'll be there soon too. There's a car over here in the median strip, I'm not gonna. And I was getting so wound up with all this stuff, and then I had some water softeners that would not, they refused to allow me to fix them, it seemed that way. No matter what I tried, they just kept acting up. And so I'm all bound up with all this stuff, and the Lord said, don't allow that stuff to take you away into the world of the natural world of the flesh and everything else, but awake. I'm here. I want to give you light. You don't need to get bogged down with all that stuff. You can rise above it. And then that little song, and I sang it to Sarah and my family the other night. I said, that's my resolution for the year, that little song that goes like, I trust God for my tomorrow. Gonna serve the Lord today. I'm gonna walk upright. Stay in the light. For me there ain't no other way. So there's a key word in that little song that is a title very much to do with my message. Can any of you guess what word that is? I trust God for my tomorrow. I'll serve the Lord today. I'm going to walk upright. Stay in the light. For me, there ain't no other way. And that's what Ephesians said. Awake thou that sleepest, and I will give thee light. Trust the Lord. Walk with the Lord in 2022. Allow his light to guide you and to trust in it. Can anyone tell me what that key word is? Trust. Boy, thank you. That's great. I trust God for my tomorrow. That was my resolution this year. And I want to walk in that. Trust Him for my tomorrow. You know, there's a story of a beautiful Indian girl. True story. Her name was Isabella. Beautiful woman. And she was asked by a good-looking young man to marry him. And she consented. And all her friends and family, they just admired her greatly. And as she was preparing for marriage and helping her husband-to-be to prepare a home, one day she noticed that she had sores developing all over her body. And she couldn't figure out what it was. Went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're developing leprosy." And this is in India. In India, leprosy is an issue there. And this was during a time when there wasn't a lot of hope for those who had leprosy. And Isabella was so horrified and so discouraged, and she was banned to a leprosy asylum. And here this woman was on the verge of marriage, promising future, and wham. She walked into this asylum, and there were discouraged, trodden down women in this asylum. They had their hair weren't combed, they weren't washed, their clothes were just a mess, and everything was just like trash inside this asylum because there wasn't any motivation to live with these women. And Isabella was so horrified. She said, "Is this going to be my end to the life that I thought I was going to live? Now look, how can this all change?" She was a Christian, a believer, and she struggled at that moment to really believe that there was a God that would ban her to this situation. And there were many people that were in that asylum that were very fearful that she was going to jump into the well or something to end her life. And one day some missionaries came to the asylum and they saw her bogged down in self-pity and struggling. And they began to minister to her and they told her, "Look around you. You can make a difference here. Yes, this is hard, and we hurt for you," and they prayed with her. And God awoke. He awakened her, and he filled her with light, just as Ephesians, that scripture, "Awake thou that sleepest, and I will give thee light." And you know, she began to see that God had a reason why he put her there, and she began to minister, and light was pouring out of her life. She began to minister to these women, and history says that it was amazing how this whole place was transformed from a place of darkness, from a place of misery, from a place of dirt and filth. And women started giving their lives to Christ. They were so excited about the hope that she was offering them. And it wasn't long till the whole place was cleaned up. And they said it was a beautiful place. And then this young woman, Isabella, she was very talented musically. And so they brought her in. I don't know if it was the same missionaries, what brought her in an organ. And she began to fill the place with music. And what was a horrible situation turned into a place of bright light and hope. And who would have thought that a place like that could be so transformed? And Isabella came to the conclusion, "God, this is what you've created me for. You have given me purpose. Your will for my life is just unfolding before me." There's a scripture in Psalm 143 that I had to think of as I was thinking about how God often uses circumstances to unfold his will for our life. You know, so often we think we have to search for God's will, but I don't believe that anymore. As I have in my older years, I and the Pastor Frumke, where I've got some of the thoughts for my message this morning, said the same thing. He said he ministered for 50 years, and he said he came to that conclusion, and he was the one that shared the story of Isabella. He said he came to that conclusion that often God brings circumstances into our lives and allows that to unfold his will for us. And so many people say, oh, I wish I could know what the will of God is for my life. I'm not saying that's wrong, but you know, instead of searching for that, let me draw a little diagram up here on this board. It's called, and again, these are not all my thoughts. They're a mix of Frumke and my thoughts, Pastor Frumke. But the diagram I want to show you is called the Life Mobile. I don't know if any of you have seen this diagram or not. Have any of you seen the three-way Life Mobile? Well, we're going to attempt to draw something here. I don't make any claims to any artistic skills. My artistic skills are rather poor. But I hope that you can draw some lessons from this. We're going to draw a three-wheeled machine. See if I can find my little diagram here that I drew this morning trying to practice my art. Let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. Okay. And this very diagram and drawing shows exactly what Joshua did, and the same thing that worked for Joshua and for Isabella can work for us. There are three essentials that need to be in place in our lives if we expect to see God's will unfold, his will for our lives to unfold. There are three things. Three essential things. And maybe to you there's something else, but for me, these are very essential for my own life. Okay, so we're going to try to draw a life mobile. Okay, we got to try to draw it big enough. We got a wheel here. Come on, pen, write for me. Okay, here we go. Got a wheel here. And then we have a shaft coming from this wheel, going to another wheel here. Oh, wait a minute, let me do this right here. This isn't turning out real well. Coming from this wheel to another wheel right here. Can you all see this? Am I positioned here properly that you can see it? Okay, then here's our hub. We're going into the hub with this other axle, okay? Let's not do that. Let's do this. All right. So it goes from this hub to this hub, and then you have a drive shaft going back here. And this is wheel number three. I'm just diagramming this so maybe it'll stick in your head about Joshua. And I'm thinking also this morning of Queen Esther. Who would have thought a little orphan girl had no father or mother, both were destroyed in the captivity. And there she was. The Bible says she was a beautiful young girl, and that her uncle Mordecai was so drawn to her, that he took her under his wing and raised her. And who would have thought that this orphan girl, no father or mother, and raised by her uncle, would become the queen, would become a queen in Persia, the queen of Persia. Who would have thought that? But God, as her life grew, God's will and the circumstances that she was in just began to unfold. And the phrase in her book that is so impacting to me is that I've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And the same way for you and me. As God brings circumstances into our lives and his will begins to unfold, that we are brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. So now we're gonna try to attempt here. I'm not doing very well here. My shaft's probably a little long, and I'm up pretty high. So here we have a thing going in here on this side, the thing going on this side, and then here is our wheel. Boy, this is terrible. I should have just had a snapshot of this and then had it put up on the screens. But you get the point. Okay. Wheel over here is hearing. We hear the word of God a lot. So what do we do when we hear the word? So our first wheel is hearing. Let's see if we can try another pen here. Sarah, you could probably do this better than me, right? Sarah's my artist. Okay, here we have hearing. This wheel is hearing, and this wheel over here is obeying. So we hear the word of God, what do we do with it? Well, we hear Jesus all the time talking in our Sunday school lessons about he that keeps my word, he that keeps my commandments. My word is life and peace. My words are spirit and they are life. Doesn't that give us a real powerful reason to hear it and obey? And then what really runs this life mobile, three-wheeled life mobile, is trusting. So we have hearing here, we have obeying, and we have trusting. Boy, that looks pitiful, but I hope you get the point. It's a three-wheeled life machine in the Christian walk. Hearing, obeying, and then powered by trusting. It's very interesting as I was reading and studying and thinking about trusting and how, you know, I kept praying all week, God, show me some kind of message that's not only good for my own life, because it seems like I've been just being lulled asleep with the pressures of life and not really feeling the spirit of life in my heart. And then he took me to the words of Ephesians, and then he took me to the words of John 5, chapter or 5, verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And then also in John 6, verse 63, just a powerful verse that just impacted me and just awakened me. And it was it is the spirit that quickens the flesh. I'm sorry, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And as God was awakening me with these words, and he took me to this message here of my life journey, what is powering my life journey? Am I just taking the word in, hearing it, but not following through with it in obedience, and then trusting God's direction and the circumstances that he's bringing into my life, that his will is going to unfold? But I don't believe his will unfolds if we're taking our own way and if we're not obeying and hearing and obeying and trusting. Often our lives end up in a dead end. But when we are trusting, hearing, and obeying and trusting, our lives go with a purpose and a direction. I really doubted if Isabella, her life would have gone in the right direction had she continued to be self-focused and in self-pity. She would have not been powered by God's Spirit and his life to allow her own heart to be transformed, and then the transformation of all those women around her begin, you know. And God wants to do that in our lives, you know, as I don't know what the needs are out here this morning at all, but I know sometimes we get so involved with sometimes responsibility, sometimes with self-focus and all the pressures of life, that we end out not trusting, and we end out often hearing and not obeying. I was so blessed with that song you led this morning, well, about all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy who has always been my guide? Such a powerful song that Fanny Crosby wrote. So, the three essentials for me, and maybe you have something else, but the three essentials for me has been, if I hear the word and it's constantly coming into my heart, am I obeying? And then am I just trusting? It was an interesting story that I read this week of a man who wanted, he said, I'm searching for God's will. And he wanted to find God's will. So he thought, well, you know what? If I fly to Calcutta, India, and help Mother Teresa, maybe I can get clarity on my life, what God's purpose and what his will is for my life. And so he flew all the way to Calcutta, India, and when he got there, he met Mother Teresa, and it's interesting. Let's see here. She asked him, let me find the, okay. She asked him what he was doing there, and he said he was seeking direction as to how best spend the rest of his life. And then she said, well, how can I pray for you? And he said, just pray for me that I can have clarity in my life. And it was quite interesting, Mother Teresa's response. She said firmly, no, I will not do that. I will not pray that prayer for you. When he asked her why, she said, clarity is the last thing you are clinging to, and you must let go of it. When this admirer of Mother Teresa heard that, yeah, he was kind of shocked. And then Mother Teresa went on to, she kind of laughed and she said, I have never had clarity. Because he said, you seem to function with so much clarity. And she said, no, she laughed. She said, I have never had clarity. What I have always had is trusting. What I've always had is trust. So I will pray that you trust God. 1 John 4:16 says, "We ourselves have known and put our trust in God's love toward ourselves." I hope this morning that you do not miss this critical issue. For if we gain clarity or wisdom or discernment, then we can proceed without God independently. Pastor Frumpke goes on to say, "This is his great controversy with each of us. We insist on knowing, but God simply responds, 'Trust me that I love you and know what is best.'" You know, there's the very, very familiar scriptures that most of us know by memory. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In the original Hebrew, "in all your ways acknowledge him" is more literally, "in all your ways know him." This fundamental statement of how to relate to God implies more than mere reverence. Nodding in God's direction is not enough, and you must know him by living closely with him, relating to him personally in every aspect of your life. So that really struck me as I was thinking about the Hebrew meaning of that word, "in all your ways acknowledge him," that phrase. It doesn't just imply a mere reverence or nodding in his direction, but it's living very closely with him, relating to him personally in every aspect of life. You know, we often say that scripture, but does the impact of that message hit home deep in our hearts? And I felt like when I looked at the original Hebrew and the meaning of it, it just brought a new, refreshed impact in my heart. Because that's one thing I struggle with, is trusting. You know, I hear the Word of God, and you are hearing it right now. And do I obey? And then with that in place, and then allow, and then just throw my trust on God. "Lord, this is what you said. I heard this. You heard what God told Joshua. He said, don't ever let God's word depart out of you. Take it and observe it and meditate on it, and then obey it and trust me. Be of good courage and trust me." "Trust me that I love you and know what is best." That's what God is telling us this morning. And that's why we can sing a song like, "I trust God for my tomorrow. I'm going to serve the Lord today. I know what he's calling me to do today. He's calling me to hear and to obey and to trust. And so I'm going to trust him with my tomorrow." I think the explanation offered by Brennan Manning, I have one of his books at home, a lot of his messages are very simplistic and very easy to grasp. At one time in Manning's life, he was not a godly man. He was a man who struggled with alcohol and drink. But as God changed him, he began to find his way, and he began to obey, and he listened to the Word of God, which he had heard so many times. But then he not only listened, he obeyed, and then he trusted. Anyway, this is what Brian Manning came up. This is how he sums everything up. And I found this very powerful. "Craving clarity, which often we all long. We wish things could be so clear. Why can't God just lay it out clearly? Craving clarity, we attempt to eliminate the risk of trusting God. Craving clarity, we attempt to eliminate the risk of trusting God. Fear of the unknown path stretching ahead of us destroys something that God has talked about us and children, and it's a childlike trust. Fear of the unknown path stretching ahead of us destroys childlike trust in the Father's active goodness and unrestricted love. We often presume that trust will dispel the confusion. It'll illuminate the darkness, vanquish the uncertainty, and redeem the times. But the crowd of witnesses in Hebrews 11, would testify that this is not the case. Our trusting does not bring final clarity on this earth. It does not still the chaos or dull the pain or provide a crutch. When all else is unclear, the heart of trust says, as Jesus did on the cross, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." And that was the words of Jesus. And that was the words of myself as I remember being wheeled into the emergency room and thinking that I was dying. And I remember as I was being wheeled there, I said, "Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit to you. Whatever happens here, I'm trusting you. If you want to take me now, just go ahead." When all else is unclear, the heart of trust says, as Jesus did on the cross, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And that was the words of Jerry or Gary Miller. I can't remember if it was Gary or Jerry in the book that Dorcas Hoover wrote about, can't remember the title, about the dawning something. But they shot his co-worker and then they turned a gun. And just before they pulled the trigger, he said his last words were, before he hit the ground, was, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." None of this made sense to him or his co-worker that they were being shot. But into the hands of God, they committed their spirit. And then he woke up later in the hospital and the shot didn't kill him. And then he went on later on as the story. How many of you have read that book? Yeah, it's quite a book. Later on, he married the widow of his co-worker and went on to minister as God's will unfolded before him with the circumstance that came into his life. I was just thinking, before I say the next things I wanted to say, I was just thinking about Esther. I don't think she ever dreamed that she'd end up where she did. And she said something very similar to, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit," as I read the story. And I thought it was so flimsy why the king was kicking out Vashti, the queen, and asking for a beauty contest with all the, I guess you could call it that, or all the women parading in front of him. He said, "Bring all the fair young virgins." He said, "Well, I want to take a good look at them." And parading in front of the king. And then he was so flimsy the way he kicked out Vashti because she refused to come to his, in our terms today, beer party. I mean, they said his heart was merry. He was all drunk and all merry, and nothing mattered that was respectful, and he asked, he gave the command to bring Queen Vashti into his chamber with all the other men sitting there, and he wanted to show off her beauty, the Bible says. He wanted to show off her fairness, as the scripture said. And Vashti said, no, I will not do that. I don't blame her. I wouldn't want to do that either. Anyway, and so for that reason, he kicked her out, said, no more. You're no more queen. I'm looking for another queen. And that's how Esther came on the scene. And God used all those things to unfold his will and his purpose to save the nation of Israel. Otherwise, probably the nation of Israel would have been, who knows what would have happened to them. I don't think they would have been totally obliterated, but they would have experienced tremendous destruction. And she spared her people from destruction because she responded in trust and she committed her life. If I perish, I perish. I'll do God whatever it takes. How about you and me? So this front steering wheel is trusting. It will become more evident that trusting, which steers our life mobile, I hope you can go home and draw a better life mobile than what I did. But our life mobile is not produced by our searching, but it is, I'm just going to reiterate some of the things, but it is born through an intimate fellowship, with Him. It was interesting. This week we had an interesting conversation on the men's WhatsApp, church WhatsApp, and the question was, how do you enter in? And Monroe was asking that, which was a very powerful question. Well, right here are some answers. For me it was, as I looked at scriptures, I was thinking about entering in. How do we really enter in and engage? And it's with intimate fellowship. And it's with that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Being crucified with Christ, being dead with Him and experiencing His resurrection power in our lives. And that comes through intimate fellowship with Him. We do not run into His presence to fellowship as an act. Rather, we maintain a continuous, abiding attitude and manner of life. This alone can steer us onward in fulfilling God's great purpose for our lives. God has a purpose for all of us. Finally, we must ask, am I wholeheartedly, yes, blindly, committing myself as Jesus did to the one who knows what is best, as Esther did, who said, if I perish, I perish. Father, you know what's best. My Father is worthy of my trust. Or He isn't. That is the single issue. When a spiritual mentor was asked to explain this more fully, he simply explained, you've got enough insights to last you 300 years. The most urgent need in your life is to trust what you have already received. And that is exactly where we begin and continue this journey. We are simply trusting Him because there is nothing else we can do. And trusting Him is that I may know Him, or the intimate fellowship, which where we really get to know Him in all our ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, is in all your ways, know Him. All I have, and I pray to God that you would go home and ponder, and you know, we're all on a journey, And God wants us to trust, let Him stir our life mobile on our journey. That when we hear, we obey, and then we trust. Lord God, surely You have brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. Who knows where our lives might go, but Father, we trust You. And we know as You bring circumstances in our lives, it's Your way, Father, of unfolding Your purpose. Just as You did for Isabella, just as You did for Queen Esther, just as You did for Joshua and Your son Jesus, who found Himself on the cross, giving His life for us. And thank You, Jesus, that You committed Your life to God the Father, that we all could experience salvation for such a time as this, when we were all dead in sin, on our way to destruction, on our way to hell. You sent Jesus, and because of Him, here we are today, washed in the blood, that we could be presented faultless before the throne with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Help us, Father, to hear it with all our hearts and trust, or obey and trust. As the songwriter says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Amen.